Jalen Hurts throws the ball over to Saquon, and he drops ball. I mean, at that point in time, I wanted Andy Reid back. I would pay him anything. Someone get Mayor Ed Rendell, Mayor John Street on the phone so we can get Andy Reid back in. Because this
Donovan McNabb with you.
This Sirianni's not going to make it. No, Donovan McNabb's, he's local legend, Philadelphia, him, Twirl Owens, Deuce Staley.
Yeah,
they just turn, Twirl Owens turns into one word like a fucking Twirl. Egyptian myth. Yeah, have I told you the tale of Twirl Owens?
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Hawk Tua.
And Ryan.
In honor of our subject in part two, I am also wearing women's panties and starting a crusade against the gays and the blacks.
Yes. And I have a contract with Ryan to obtain his panties after he's worn them.
I want to introduce our new co-host, Lindsey Graham.
And I'm bridging the divide between him and the gays and the blacks.
Did you also dance at your parents' bar dressed as a cowboy for nickels?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but I denied that my lover was ever a lover of mine. We just went on vacations together. I bequeathed him my estate. I bought him everything he wanted. We held hands. We kissed. But I'm definitely not gay.
But yeah, they used to get invited to functions that the invites were like you would send to like a husband and a wife.
Right. I was reading a little bit of reading, you know, on my own accord about oh God, what was his name? No, I can't think of what his name was. His
Tolson?
Yeah, Tolson. And the things that like they just did together, and even like all like the LGBTQ community back then, even though, you know, very much on the ground, they still were all like, yeah, he's gay. Like, who cares?
Tell? He just did that.
Stop being weird.
He's gay.
Yeah. I guess like he would go, him and Tolson would go to like this, I don't know if it was horse racing or dog racing place, but like the box that they sat in or like the booth that they sat in was just all gay people. He was always just a bunch of gay dudes in there. And it's just like,
yeah, it was at the horse track.
How did nobody call the horse track? How did nobody call this shit out?
Well, they, like, what the fuck? They absolutely knew, like, you know, they absolutely knew that those locations were gay. I mean, there had to be a reason that it wasn't like stepped on. I mean, he was obvious, right? But wasn't he like, he had so much power. I think really that's what it comes down to.
Well, I think it was the fact that he was obvious, but in a subtle way.
Sure, you can be subtly obvious. I know what you're getting at, but at the same time, he also was like extremely fucking powerful. Like,
right.
Do you really want to fuck with my boy? Like, listen,
I got you.
In 2024, if you see an Italian guy wearing a certain outfit in New Jersey, you know, and he happens to talk a certain way, and you know, you might assume.
Yeah, right, he works in construction.
Yeah, you might.
Does he have a tracksuit? Can you see his chest hair? Does he have more than three gold chains?
Now,
does he have
shitty
New York or New
right,
Jersey
but
accent?
The thing is
he might be a mobster.
Yeah, but in 2024, there's tons of people who are just like that. You know, like it's a thing that people do.
They grew up watching The Sopranos,
and they're fake. Like they're not in the mob. They're just that. Right. That's just their aesthetic, and I fully support their aesthetic. Right, but it's probably safe to not fuck with that guy.
I mean, if you're wearing a tracksuit in New Jersey, like a velour tracksuit, like it's probably safe to assume A, you're carrying, or B, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody.
Who knows somebody who knows a lot of bodies, right? So, like, that's what I feel about, like, guys like J. Edgar, you know? He's got street cred, you know?
Well, so here's my question, right? And because, as far as I know, Hoover served under many presidents, and everybody knew that he was, like, this corrupt piece of shit. Why didn't any of the presidents that he served under get rid of him?
One of the big reasons why they never really touched him is that they were all really afraid of him. That they all believed. They all believed. We know from some of them that they believed that he had dirt on them. I think Nixon talked about it in the Nixon tapes.
I understand Nixon being afraid because Nixon was so fucking dirty, it wasn't even funny. But like anybody else, really?
Yeah, there was just a general thought because, you know, he had files on all these different people and he had been collecting things, that there was a general thought that, like, he could probably, you know, release information about them that could, you know, ruin their careers. And then also you have to think about the fact, too, that a lot of these politicians probably don't really care because they're not really attacking anybody that they really care about.
I mean, you got to figure, too, like, this guy was gay. What year was it?
Well, from, like, the 1920s. I think technically he hooked up with Tolson in, like, the early 30s. And then until his death in the, 1971.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. 1962 was when Illinois first declared same-sex activities, like sodomy, whatever,
right,
legal. Like, they weren't illegal anymore. And it wasn't until 2003 that all the other laws against that kind of stuff were stricken.
Well, yeah, that's because of the Marriage Equality Act.
Yeah, no, I know, but, like, yeah, it's just crazy to remind yourself that, like, this guy was getting away with something that at the time was largely looked aside. So it's got to be power. Like you just said yourself, they feared him.
Yeah, and then plus, too, like, the only way to get really caught as being, like, quote-unquote, like, homosexual acts is that, like, you have to be caught doing a sex act. So it's right. Not like the
gotta,
police are going to, like...
You got to have the key in the lock, right?
They are actively having sex.
Yeah, there so, are no like, dumbbells in like... here. They're just my balls. It's that Adam Sandler skit.
Well, sex well, it's like, or weightlifting? It's like, I will say, allegedly, Paulides, the Bigfoot researcher, he likes to talk about how he was a cop.
Oh, Paulides.
And, what his actual beat was that he doesn't tell people was that his job was an undercover police officer who harassed gay people in San Francisco. And essentially what their job was to do was to, like, sort of like prostitution stings.
Yeah, but you're just trying to, like, talking about a cop that, you know, fucks with the gay community in San Francisco. You're just repeating yourself. That's what the cops do.
But just try to get them to, like, do a sex act on them so they can bust them.
Okay. I guess that's where it changes. Cause, like, normally, the cops just let the gay guys or the gay girls do the sex acts on them.
And Paulides, he was well known for getting, like, you know, 3-4 inches in before saying, "All right, that's enough. You're under arrest." So
I will say allegedly, he's very litigious.
I don't give a shit. Here's the deal with that guy. Like, he has never once been able to back up his claims for anything.
Oh, yeah, he always leaves out information all the time and just, like, completely omits things about, like, he'll talk about cases, but the person was, like, found eventually, and he'll just, like, completely,
he's
like...
He's literally the... Hey, Paulides, you're literally the J.D. Vance of the paranormal universe. You still think Haitians are eating cats, and you can't provide good evidence for it, and then you get your evidence overturned in less than a few hours by someone making one phone call.
You know, I was out by the staircase in the middle of the woods that went to nowhere, and then I saw these Haitian people just loading cats into vans.
Who told him that was a good idea? Like, no, not Trump. Who told J.D. Vance to double down? Like, why would you double down? I guess it's the only thing you can do when you say something so fucking blatantly stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's like they all do, like, the interview that was with Stephen Miller and the
he got super butthurt.
With the one Hispanic reporter who was from Venezuela. I forget what outlet it was for. I think it was for a Chilean outlet.
I watched it.
But he was just saying, like, so you believe the statistics of Venezuela, and Stephen Miller is just screaming at him about how he wants, like, children to be raped.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't expect much more from Stephen Miller, but, you know.
So when we last left off, we sort of got to the end of the 50s. You know, J. Edgar Hoover is kind of wanting to, like, go after communists more than ever, which has always been his sort of, like, bugbear that he's always been after is communists and generally black people. Because remember, like, back in his, like, original list of, like, people he was, like, that he was fixated on in the 20s.
His hit into list, the 30s, if you will.
was, like, Marcus Garvey, for instance.
Right.
Who was, like, pretty harmless, but just the idea of, like, black people organizing is, like, terrifying to people like J. Edgar Hoover. And then just also a lot of, like, anarchists and, like, early communists.
But now that the my favorite thing, it's such like you tell on yourself so bad when you get really scared when minorities organize. Like you're telling on yourself because you're like, oh man, what happens if they get power and they treat me like I've treated them for the past umpteen million years? Oh man, oh no. Yeah, stop telling on yourself, bro. Like, you know, have everybody get a seat at the table, if you will.
I mean, bro, anybody, this is a good way. Like, it's not deductive reasoning at all. It's definitely inductive reasoning, but like, anybody that's that hateful towards one group of people usually has some like personal problems, like some shit's going on. They're a member of some other group that's not liked, you know, or that has problems. It's like a projection.
J-Hoov needed therapy really bad. Which brings us to today's sponsor, BetterHelp.
BetterHelp. Don't be J. Edgar Hoover. There's nothing wrong with being gay. And there's nothing wrong with working for the FBI. Wait. There's nothing wrong with being gay.
The person we're going to connect black. You to is like barely by the barest minimum a psychiatrist. And they'll be able to help you. Which apparently is a big problem with that service, by the way. Just a cool. Buyer beware.
Is it just BetterHelp or is it all the talk therapy stuff?
I don't know about all of them, but I've heard with BetterHelp, I've read some reviews and like talking about like people going into it. And a big problem with it is that the people they have are like, it's just not good. Like,
I'm not usually a weirdo about that. I 100% believe in therapy. I've been in therapy.
Well, no, it's not that therapy is bad. It's just that the people they're using are not. Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying. You're saying at all. I'm a big proponent of therapy, but I think the access to therapy is a joke. And I went in like the mid 2000s, changed my life. And
it's excellent. It's amazing.
Changed my life, dude. 180.
Amazing.
I'm a big proponent of it, but it's really hard to get it. So it sucks that when a service like that comes around and it's like, oh, well, you know, we're going to get more therapy to people. And to hear it's low quality, I wonder if some of it is the fact that it's impersonal to do it remotely. Because part of it for me was it's hard to talk to someone when you're right in front of them, you know. But
right.
But there's an element of that difficulty that I think is cathartic, you know.
Yeah. That's why I could never do the BetterHelp, the Talkspace, et cetera, just because every time I've done therapy, it's been in person, and it's more personal.
It just feels efficacious. You know? It doesn't feel like
– right.
Like I understand where return to office makes sense, you know, to a certain extent.
Right.
For some businesses, it makes sense.
There's also some things that don't translate into online, even if you have a Zoom camera and like you're on cam.
Yeah.
Things like body language and affectation and things like that, they just don't translate right. Well.
Like if you go into a therapist's office and you say, "Doc, everybody hates me, you know, and I can't figure out why. They get near me and then they just run away, and then he takes one sniffy and goes, "Dude, you need a shower." You know, like
you can't let you do prescription that. For right guard real quick.
All right. Not left guard, by the way. Right guard.
I know it says right guard. Trust me, you can still use it on the left one. Please use them both bilaterally. Go. Bye.
You like football? What do you think about playing right guard? Because you stink. You stinky.
But COINTELPRO, it remained in place until into the 1970s, and its methods included infiltration, burglaries, setting up illegal wiretaps, planning forged documents, and spreading false rumors about key members of target organizations.
We're talking about what COINTELPRO was right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, they just infiltrated political organizations and just acted like dickheads and spread havoc.
Well, yes, and some authors have also charged that their methods also included inciting violence and arranging murders, which we do know that they did arrange for the murders of some activists. And also, too, while they will note, defenders will note that they did also infiltrate right-wing organizations. Usually what they did in right-wing organizations was sort of, like, push them to do violence against left-wing organizations.
Right.
Like essentially giving them like having their people inside say like, oh, you should attack these like communists or whatever.
Yeah. Kind of like old Elon Musk recently musing on Twitter, because I'm not gonna call it what it should be called.
huh, interesting how all the assassination attempts have been against Donald Trump, and no one's trying to do anything against Kamala and Joe Biden. I'm like, bro, do you just want to talk to the Secret Service that bad? You can't just call them. You know that, right? Like, you can call the Secret Service office and talk to somebody. You don't need them come, hey, are you making threats against the president? Or are you, like, musing about assassination attempts against the president? We need to have a discussion.
Bro, he just doesn't care.
He's so fucked.
He's in a K-hole.
He's a fucking moron.
He's Elon
Musk. Nah, he's in the K-hole, man. He's definitely in the K-hole.
He's about to be in some kind of hole. Protective custody.
An 18-hour holiday. Just stuck in the K-hole again. That's a great No Effect song.
Just unreal.
COINTELPRO would remain in place until it was exposed to the public in 1971 after the burglary by a group of eight activists who went into a FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania and stole a number of internal documents where they discovered COINTELPRO, and it became the cause of harsh criticism against J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI. Essentially, like, we could probably do a whole episode on COINTELPRO and, like, how the group got in there and got it. But the gist of it is that these eight activists, who were peace activists, knew that the FBI was collecting files on local members and that they had possibly been infiltrated. So they came up with a plan that they would break into this FBI satellite office in Media, Pennsylvania, which I believe is, like, outside Philadelphia.
Yeah, so it probably had, like, four agents working there outside of the most boring part of the country.
Well, it was a small office, and I've listened to interviews with the people who did it, and they talked about how, like, there weren't a lot of people there, the security was not as tight as they thought it would be, and they had, like, cased the place for, like, a week, and that they eventually broke in at night, and they were able to get these files, and they found out that there was this program called COINTELPRO, so they found out not just, like, what they believed was happening, but that it was a lot more expansive and a lot more insidious than they originally thought.
Is that kind of how we got all the really big time information about COINTELPRO? Was that break in?
Yeah, they find it and they leak it to the press. And COINTELPRO's activities were investigated in 1975 by the United States Senate Select Committee to study governmental operations with respect to intelligence activities called the Church Committee.
Yeah.
Its chairman, Senator Frank Church.
Yeah, I've heard of the Church Committee.
Who was a Democrat from Idaho. The committee declared that COINTELPRO's activities were illegal and contrary to the Constitution.
Of course they were. Every grasp at power is usually contrary to the Constitution. Like, get the fuck out of here. You know, how, like, much on a daily basis, like, your constitutional rights are trampled by things that, like, nobody gives a shit about?
Mm-hmm.
Your fucking cell phone is a literal, it's a literal privacy nightmare. The idea that they're not listening and marketing based off that is a fucking lie. Like,
if they're not listening, how the fuck does my Alexa know when I say, hey, Alexa?
Because they are fucking listening. And
that's what I'm saying.
The microphone is turned on, and you say something, and it hears it. An anonymous, supposedly, advertising ID associated with your fucking shitty opinion is transferred to a server, and that's why you end up with pink board shorts on your Amazon recommendations, you know, and cocoa butter, which just, makes no never, sense, because why would you buy those two things?
But that is what never clicked to me, is when they say, no, it's not always listening, or your phone's not always listening to you. It's like, well, then how the fuck does it know when I say certain things to wake up?
Bro, it's absolutely ridiculous. These fucking nimrods out there who go around and say, like, oh, you know, they're putting cameras on the streetlights, and it's gonna start a surveillance state. You live in the fucking surveillance state, dickhead.
Yeah.
It's fucking here already, you fucking idiots. We're gonna
have a ring on three different corners of your fucking house. You got a phone, a camera, you got Amazon listening to you. Like, what do you fucking mean you're worried about a traffic light, you dickhead?
You know why fucking Britain has cameras everywhere? Because their fucking internet service sucks and they couldn't get the data fast enough. It's fucking bullshit.
Right.
Like, get the fuck out of here, man. You know?
Also, we have spy planes that can read your license plate number from, like, fucking space, okay?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Eat my fucking ass if you think you're getting away with jack and or shit in this country in the year of our Lord, 2024.
But back in J. Edgar's days, you could fucking get away with anything.
You could ridiculous. Fuck another man and just deny it, and everybody be like, no, he's totally straight.
Oh, my God. You know, if I make that the intro,
Well, it's just like the one. It's just like the one guy in Mad Men, the one guy in the office who's gay.
I still haven't seen that.
And he's just like, oh, they're like, it's like someone asks him about like how many like women he gets or whatever, and he says like, well, you know, I'm Italian or whatever, so like I love women.
The Italian stallion strikes again.
But he's like very obviously like gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So as we mentioned previously,
would you say he's advertising it? That's a little Mad Men joke there, because it's about that.
As mentioned previously, Hoover amassed a significant amount of power by collecting files containing compromising information and potentially embarrassing information on many powerful people, including politicians.
Which is the scummiest fucking shit ever.
According to Lawrence Silberman, who was appointed Deputy Attorney General in early 1974, FBI Director Clarence M. Kelly thought such files either did not exist or had been destroyed. After the Washington Post, though, broke a story in January...
That's just because you didn't have clearance, Clarence.
Sorry.
Well, this is also after J. Edgar dies, and Tolson is dead by this point as well. So after the Washington Post breaks the story in January of 1975, Kelly searches and finds them in his outer office. The House Judiciary Committee then demanded that Silberman testify about them.
Really? Did he, though?
He did.
Okay.
The Church Committee actually did do a lot to like curtail the power of the FBI and the CIA.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I am never more scared than when I hear about this type of stuff, because it goes on now at a much, much more insidious level, because of how much capture there is of the way we communicate, you know?
Yeah. Cause like Five Eyes.
Dude, it's absolutely ridiculous. But like, did you see that cell phone thing? Like, I don't know the whole story, but the cell phone bomb operation thing.
Oh yeah, that
over
that,
like Hezbollah.
Yeah,
with the beepers blowing.
Well, the fact that Israel's become a Batman villain and they're just blowing up like random appliances all over Lebanon and like maiming and killing children as well as the people they're targeting.
Dude, it's
ridiculous,
frightening, dude.
Again, the most frightening thing is beepers in 2024.
That is pretty scary. I mean, I do not know how the fuck this came up. Reddit started doing this shit now, where it like suggests a Reddit like in the middle of your posts, and you're like, I'm not subscribed to r/Joe Rogan. What the fuck's going on here? But Christ. That came up today earlier, and I clicked on the thread. I didn't even know I was in Joe Rogan, and. Dude, they were just going back and forth because Snowden posted on Twitter about how this was a crime and all this other stuff, because I guess that's Russia's line on it.
Oh my god.
They're like, well, side, and Russia is like one of the most guilty fucking countries in the world. They've deliberately bombed hospitals, like, they're fucking recently. Like,
my buddy went to Ukraine, like, as an aid worker / like frontline aid worker type deal. And he came back, and he recently had texted me something. I guess Ukraine has totally turned it around. It is now like 400 miles into Russia, like invading Russia.
Yeah,
back.
Recently I saw that.
Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck?
I think they still have territory in the Kursk region.
Yeah,
crazy.
But who's not invading the Kursk region is definitely J. Edgar. I don't think he's got the firepower, TBH. Him or Tolson.
In 1956, several years before he targeted Martin Luther King Jr., Hoover had a public showdown with T.R.M. Howard, a civil rights leader from Mound Bayou, Mississippi. During a national speaking tour, Howard had criticized the FBI's failure to investigate thoroughly the racially motivated murders of George W. Lee, Lamar Smith, and Emmett Till. Hoover wrote an open letter to the press singling out these statements as irresponsible.
Absolutely, like, should have been done more to investigate those.
In the 1960s, Hoover
Emmett Till wasn't fully punished. Wasn't that woman that they prosecuted like a couple years ago?
Yeah, and she was like 96 fucking years old or some shit. She was old ass bitch, and they were like, yeah, you actually lied. And she was like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. Like, she's gross. Oof. She's going to die and go in hell, and I don't even believe in hell, but she's going to go to hell.
In the 1960s, the FBI monitored such figures as John Lennon, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali. COINTELPRO tactics were later extended to organizations such as the Nation of Islam, the Black Panther Party, King Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and others.
Notably missing the Ku Klux Klan or any kind of white group.
they did do them on a level as well, but it was more, like I said, of just pushing them to attack these civil rights and leftist organizations.
They weren't investigating them. They were investigating what their kind of entrance qualifications were so to see how many agents they could get enrolled.
Hoover also moved against people who maintained contacts with subversive elements, some of whom were members of the civil rights movement, and also led to accusations of him trying to undermine their reputations. Okay. His treatment of Martin Luther King Jr. and the actress Jean Seberg are two examples. Jacqueline Kennedy recalled that Hoover told JFK that King had tried to arrange a sex party while in the Capitol for the March on Washington, and that Hoover had told Robert Kennedy Sr. that King had made derogatory comments during the president's funeral.
God, J. Edgar Hoover is such a catty little bitch above everything else. He's like a mean girl. Like, oh God, what a little, I don't even know the word I want to call him, but yeah, he's just so slimy.
I mean, he was the first director, right, of the FBI?
He was I think he was the third.
So, how qualified was he for his position?
I mean, he was pretty qualified, you know, he rose up the ranks, but it was also back in those days where, you know, you showed up to the factory, gave the manager a firm handshake, and
looked him in the eyes.
And then like 5 years later, you're running the factory.
Sure.
Also, I'm going to tell you right now, he was probably overqualified because for all his, you know, eccentricities and all his bullshit, the dude had intel.
So we're talking about a committed evil person, not just someone who maybe like got in the position wrongly.
Well, right. he was the first one when it was called the FBI in 1935. But in the Bureau of Investigation, he was the sixth head of the organization.
Hmm. Was he appointed?
I don't think he was appointed.
I don't know how they're put in now. Like, I hate to be like nitpicky. I'm just trying to figure out how.
I believe he's. I believe like he's,
him become in the.
They you know? They serve. They serve at the pleasure of the president for 10 years by statute and renewable only by the Senate, but I believe that was put in after his death.
Okay.
Because remember, I remember talking about when he was young when he became the head of the Bureau. Like, young. And I was like, wait, what? Like, he can't have any experience.
Yeah, and in 1976, they amended the 1968 Omnibus Crime Control Act and made it so FBI directors could only serve 10 years at the pleasure of the president. And it could only be renewed by the Senate.
So basically you're limited to 10 years? That's not bad.
Yeah, unless you get dismissed by the president.
Right.
As I was saying, this was also when Hoover, he sent the had the FBI send an anonymous blackmail letter to Martin Luther King Jr. shortly before he accepted the Nobel Prize in 1964, indicating that, quote unquote, there's only one thing left for you to do, which King interpreted as an exhortation for him to commit suicide.
God damn.
However, his interpretation of the letter has not been proven, with more portions of the letter being made public in 2014, which revealed that it also praised older leaders in the civil rights movement, such as Roy Wilkins, and urged King to step aside and let other men lead the movement.
So is it basically like that Simpsons joke where it's like 101 ways to cook humans? Blow off the dust. 101 ways to cook 4 humans. It's like, wait a minute. Hang on. Wait a blow the dust again. 101 ways to cook 40 humans. It's like that. Is that the kind of like fuck shit letter that we're talking about right now?
I guess. I don't think we have the full letter yet. I think there is an implication there of either for him to like step aside or like kill himself, because a lot of it I think too notes that saying that he had like committed adulteries,
right? Also, okay, it sucks, you're a dumbass and fuck you for doing that, but also who the fuck cares? Come on, man. Well, this is the 30s, right?
No, this is the 50s. Okay. Or 50s, 60s. Actually, the letter was in 1964, but he's been on Martin Luther King Jr. since 1950, around like the 50s. So the church committee, though, which investigated the FBI, found in 1976 that the FBI's intent was to push him out of the leadership of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Okay.
King's aide Andrew Young claimed in a 2013 interview with the Academy of Achievement that the main source of tension between the SCLC and the FBI was the government agency's lack of black agents, and that both parties were willing to cooperate with each other by the time the Selma to Montgomery marches had taken place. But in a 1965 incident, white civil rights worker Viola Liuzzo was murdered by the Ku Klux Klan.
How dare you say white civil rights with that kind of last name? Liuzzo. She's Italian.
You're this fucking guy.
This is 1965. Italians ain't white yet, okay? And they have it on 1973.
Who had given chase and fired shots into her car after noticing that her passenger was a young black man. One of the Klansmen was Gary Thomas Rowe, an acknowledged FBI informant.
So an FBI informant is doing drive-bys.
Or shooting at someone in a car. The FBI spread rumors, though, that Liuzzo was a member of the Communist Party and had abandoned her children to have sexual relationships with African-Americans involved in the Civil Rights Movement.
That's gross.
The FBI records show Hoover personally communicated these insinuations to LBJ. Nevertheless, three Klansmen would be convicted in a federal trial for Liuzzo's murder in December of 1965.
Good. I mean, honestly, like, jokes aside, it was a white woman. Of course somebody's going to burn for that one. Like, you can't do that. Like, you know how the justice system works. I wrote a paper recently on this. You kill a white woman, you are fucked. Capital F fucked in the United States of America. And it's disgusting, but that is the way it is.
Hoover also personally ordered the ceasing of a federal inquiry into the 1963 16th Street Baptist Church bombing by members of the KKK that killed four girls. By May of 1965, local investigators in the FBI had identified suspects in the bombing and witnesses, and this information was relayed to Hoover. No prosecutions of the four suspects ensued from this. However, even though the evidence was reportedly so strong that even a white Alabama jury would convict.
Good Lord.
There had been a history of mistrust between local and federal investigators during this as well. Hoover wrote in a memo that the chances of a conviction were remote and told his agents not to share their results with federal or state prosecutors. In 1968, the FBI formally closed their investigation into the bombing without filing charges against any of their named suspects. The files were sealed by the order of Hoover, and in 1970, Hoover personally authorized quote-unquote black bag jobs against the Weather Underground per testimony from William C. Sullivan.
What's the Weather Underground?
There were a radical movement in the 60s,
70s? Yeah, they were sort of like a radical sort of like underground movement. Like still some of the, like the FBI, they're still on the, some of them are still on the FBI like most wanted list.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly women who were part of it that fled the country. But you know, like in the Big Lebowski, when he talks about like how he was part of like the Port Huron statement and all that.
Yes.
Like that's the Weather Underground. That's like him joking that like when he talks about that he was like involved in it, and he said, and not their I forget what he says, but not their compromise like one or whatever, it was not the one that he was involved in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just always like, I always laugh when I see it because there's that website W Underground, which is literally Weather Underground, the weather site.
Yeah.
So it's always like, wait a minute, hold up.
It's been argued by one of Hoover's biographers, Kenneth Ackerman, that the allegation that Hoover kept secret files on presidents from that prevented them from firing him is a myth.
I mean, maybe.
But as I stated, Richard Nixon was recorded in 1971 as stating that one of the reasons he would not fire Hoover was that he was afraid of Hoover's reprisals against him.
Okay.
He was definitely afraid. You know?
But I mean, again, I feel like Nixon was probably the only president that dirty that would have to worry about reprisals.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure it's also projection.
Hoover's right. Got a lot of dirt on me.
All the things I've done.
I've never actually bowled a 300.
I had Kissinger knock down the pins.
Yes, I knocked the pins down for you.
Very good, sir.
Kissinger to me sounds like what's his name from, not Laszlo, the guy from the vampire show. Shit.
Oh, I know. In the
shadows. Yeah, he sounds like Nandor, like drop down, like drop D Nandor. were you guys in the metal scene? You know what drop D is?
Yeah, okay. Fucking drop D, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but our generation might be the last one that knows what that is, because everyone else listens to bullshit.
No, okay, fair. That
which
is
our parents said about us.
Yep.
Which their parents said yep. about
which
us.
They which now Gen Z is calling Gen Alpha. They're all saying they're friends. Bullshit now.
Right. Can you believe friends. It, honey? Steve said Boston is bullshit.
We're fighting. I don't care if you talk about the band or the city. We're fighting.
Well, the band, you know, it'd be more like a slap fight, you know.
Yeah, correct.
We also know that that presidents Harry Truman and JFK had also considered dismissing Hoover as FBI director, but ultimately concluded that doing so would have cost them too greatly.
What? Cost them what? All right, okay, maybe JFK also had some dirt on him, but like, what the fuck would they possibly?
I'm sure all these guys have skeletons in their closets because they're all doing crooked stuff.
Every on the planet like, Earth has skeletons in their closet. So what
like,
the fuck?
Like, LBJ is one of the reasons why apparently VA hospitals had terrible air conditioning systems for, like, decades, because his wife, Lady Bird, her family owned the company that made the AC units.
And they're trash?
Yeah, and they were trash.
Oh, my God. My favorite talking point is Republicans saying how shitty the VA system is, and I'm, like, screaming at my television because, like, you made it that way, you cocksucker. You fucking did this. Like, you voted against funding for them. You voted. You've been cutting VA funding for decades.
They do that
you
all
fucking
the time.
Made it this bad. Shut the fuck up talking about how bad it is, you piece of shit. I hate it.
Bro, they
I
do that shit. That. They do that shit all the time. The fucking
that makes
Rick
my blood
Scott
boil.
Is currently being excoriated because he fucking voted against the bill for IVF, like, and he has a commercial where he supports IVF because he has an IVF baby.
I would say he's got a fucking IVF kid, you fucking like, fuck.
And he voted like,
what
against
it. What is
yeah,
wrong with
those
you?
People like Pence, like all his kids are IVF.
God, I hate these
it's
motherfuckers
crazy.
So goddamn much.
He voted against his own child. He voted against the thing that gave him his own child, dude.
Yeah. These
that's
motherfuckers
how, that's
have no
how evil he is.
Fucking soul. No
nothing.
Soul.
Nothing. Zero. There's nothing
An
there.
Empty husk of a human being, which if somebody killed him, like nothing would change because there's no life inside of him.
Well, it all goes back to them and the higher ups know that abortion is just like a talking point. It doesn't mean anything because like the reason why it became abortion is because before it was segregation and because Liberty University was going to lose its federal grant money and its ability to get federal scholarship money that they reversed course. It's the same reason why the Mormon Church decided around the same time that black people didn't carry the mark of Ham, that they weren't cursed by God and that they could be allowed in, because BYU was also going to lose its federal funding.
What year was that?
It was like 19. It was like the last part of like integration.
2017, somewhere around there.
Right.
For the Civil Rights Act, I think everybody had to be integrated by like 1975. So
can you imagine
in
1975 and you're a fucking leader of like the Mormons and you're like, so maybe black people aren't all that bad. It's 1975, dog.
But
holy shit.
But they switched over to, because they needed something else to get people angry about things. So they switched over to abortion.
Right.
And that before that point, nobody in America other than like really strict Catholics didn't care about abortion at
nobody
that point.
Gave a shit. Well, and it, like, became, no, it literally only became a thing because it was a wedge issue that could divide politics. That's
and
all.
It started coming up with the evangelicals because of that, because of like Liberty University and Falwell and all them.
Right.
But in 1964, the FBI had investigated Jack Valenti, who was a special assistant and confidant of LBJ, who's married to LBJ's personal secretary, but was also allegedly maintaining a gay relationship with a commercial photographer.
Oh, so when you say
this guy was banging Ansel Adams.
So when you say Hoover's FBI was investigating Jack Valenti, you mean Hoover himself was investigating Jack Valenti. Off hours.
Hi, Jack.
I'm just saying that if Grindr existed, you know, we would have had all this, you know.
Oh God, Hoover would have been blowing up, baby.
Or Stiffies.
No, you know, Hoover would have actually gotten exposed sooner because he's like a shitty old man who'd like ask an intern, be like, "How do I get this app on my phone?"
Interns in the cafeteria lunch. Did you know that old Jay Eddie's up there? He's browsing Grindr. You hear what
he's on Grindr, and he asked me about something called Stiffies.
Why do you sound like Pauly Shore whispering? Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Did you know my mom owns the Comedy Store?
By the way, yeah, Mitzi Shore. By the way, the only good thing to come out of Pauly Shore is Encino Man.
Okay, fuck you, because I loved In the Army Now. You can eat my entire ass.
I've never seen it, so I won't even make a judgment call on it.
Please watch it, dude. Please watch it. It is so fucking good. No, listen, aside from Andy Dick being in it, Pauly Shore, David Alan Grier, and Lori Petty make that fucking movie. It is incredible.
Hell yeah.
When JFK was assassinated, Herbert Hoover directly led the FBI investigation of the assassination. In 1964, just days before he would testify in the Warren Commission hearings, LBJ waived the what was then the mandatory U.S. government service retirement age of 70, allowing Hoover to remain the FBI director, quote unquote, for an indefinite period of time.
Have you guys ever heard how bullshit the Warren Report and the Warren Commission was? Like, for instance, like, you understand probably all the information and the massive, insane amount of information behind the JFK assassination. The Warren Commission, like, who is it, LBJ, was like, hey, you got to give me a report in, like, 6 months. You don't get years to work. You get like 6 months. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they even cut it down again. And then they cut the amount of people that were working on it to like five people. Wow. And like a couple of those people were like interns. So when you look and you read the Warren Report, there is like glaring inaccuracies all through it. There's like really easy misspellings because these assholes were at like the 11th hour trying to finish this fucking report. And it's... I there was something on like History Channel, sitting in like the waiting room of the mechanics like lounge and shit, and I was just like kind of like idly watching it, and I was like, wow.
History Channel presents classic Nazi jokes.
Yeah, classic 1960s and shit. But it was very interesting to realize that like the Warren Report, which is like the report about the event of like the 20th century, was like a bunch of fucking interns on a deadline, like hopped up on coffee.
History Channel presents the Jewish conspiracy to create Seinfeld.
Followed by Ancient Aliens, followed by The Curse of Elk Island, followed by Ends of the Third Reich.
No, you got it.
Followed by black and white images of World War II footage all night long.
That History Channel After Dark thing. That was
when the History Channel was like good, when they would just like have Stalin's War.
The samurai.
Dude, I'm telling you, Late Night History Channel, when all they did was show like war footage, was the greatest, the History Channel era.
It was the best, dude. Like, it's unfortunate now that TV has become such a money like disaster. Like, not that it wasn't at the time, but there were shitty channels.
Right.
Like, there were clearly channels that were not making a lot of money, right?
Right. Travel Channel, D tier.
Yeah.
History Channel, A tier.
Yeah, and the History Channel was all over it. And, you know, I don't know. I would love to pinpoint when it went downhill, but I don't know if they were originally owned by, but I know that now I think they're owned by some
kind they got of bought out by,
Christian organization.
Yeah, they got bought out by a Christian organization. That's when it got... That's when it started getting, like, reality shows and, like... Yeah.
Fucking gold diggers in Alaska and oil drillers of the Barrens. It's just, stupid as fuck.
It could just
so
as
bad.
Easily be, like, just shitheels that fucking bought it, you know? Like, it's not the people as much as it is, like, the fact that it got bought and got ruined. Like, completely antithetical to how it was originally, you know?
Right.
It's frustrating.
The House Select Committee on Assassinations would issue a report in 1979 critical of the performance of the FBI and the Warren Commission and other agencies involved in the investigation of the assassination.
Keep calling me Warren. My name's not fucking Warren. Name the movie.
I don't know.
Empire Records.
Oh, well, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's a chick flick, but I was made to watch it when I was younger, and there you go.
The reports, though, criticized Hoover's reluctance to investigate thoroughly the possibility of a conspiracy to assassinate the president.
Right.
When Nixon took office in January of 1969, Hoover had just turned 74.
Hoover. Old goddamn mother. You can't head up offices when you're that goddamn old, because you're going to have really shitty old man opinions.
There had begun to begin a growing sentiment within D.C. that that Hoover should retire, but his power and friends in Congress remained too strong for him to be forced to do so. He would remain director of the FBI until he died of a heart attack in his Washington home on May 2nd, 1972, where then operational command of the Bureau was passed on to Associate Director Clyde Tolson. Because remember, too, Tolson is not only his like partner, he's also the associate director of the FBI.
Yeah.
So he's also the second in command, which is also like a big like no, even back then, to, you know, have your spouse or relative to be like,
oh yeah, dude, like nepotism is such a mistake. I'm always like, I've seen it in action, and it's
not, bad.
It's not a good idea.
Well, it's illegal in the government.
Yeah, in the government you absolutely can't do it. But like in private business, I've been directly connected to it before, and the problem is you literally can never criticize the person who's being nepotized, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess that's what you would say, like, right? Or the person who's committing the nepotism, whoever that person is that works for them, they're untouchable. Like, what can you possibly say? Oh, they're ineffective? What the fuck's that gonna do?
Right.
It's really, really bad.
Because the retaliation is always there in the back of your mind.
Yeah, family business is a joke. There's no such thing.
On May 3rd, 1972, Nixon would appoint L. Patrick Gray, a Justice Department official with no FBI experience, as acting director of the FBI, with W. Mark Felt becoming associate director.
W. Mark!
Hoover's body would lay in state in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, where Chief Justice Warren Burger would eulogize him.
Warren Burgs.
Up to that time, Hoover was the only civil servant to have have lain in state, according to the New York Daily News. At that time, the New York Times observed that this was, quote unquote, an honor accorded to only 21 persons before, of whom 8 were presidents or former presidents.
Steve, it's funny, as I was going to sing the New York State of Mind there, you said the Daily News, and then I didn't, but then like in the next sentence you said the New York Times, which is the reverse order, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's the lyrics in the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
And Nixon would deliver
some
another eulogy.
Some folks like to get away. All right, God.
Nixon would deliver another eulogy at the funeral service in the National Presbyterian Church and called Hoover, quote-unquote, one of the giants whom long life brimmed over with magnificent achievement and dedicated service to this country, which he loved so well.
He wasn't a giant. He was like 5'8". Shut up.
The room.
Hoover was then buried in the national in the Congressional Cemetery in Washington, D.C., next to the graves of his parents and sister who had died in infancy. From the 1940s...
She really dodged a bullet.
Right? Imagine having to grow up with that motherfucker, like, related to him? Oh, God.
But as mentioned before, there's sort of this talk of that that, especially from the 1940s onward, there have been rumors about Hoover that he was a homosexual. He was still living with his mother into his early 40s as well.
I think he was bisexual, if I'm being entirely honest, because I think there were rumors that he was banging some actress from Hollywood in like the 30s and the 40s or something like that. And I think, if I'm also not mistaken, she said, yeah, it was going down. It wasn't anybody like Judy Garland. No big time name as far as I know, but it was some actress. And so I feel like the man is probably bisexual if we're really going to want to get down to brass tacks here.
Historians John Stuart Cox and Ethan G. Theo Harris speculated that Clyde Tolson, who became an assistant director to Hoover in his mid-40s and became his primary heir, had a sexual relationship with Hoover until the latter's death.
Uncle Clyde, yeah. That's what they called him, Uncle Clyde, every family gathering.
You know, Uncle Clyde's coming to Thanksgiving.
Oh, you better tell the black family next door to stay inside. Uncle Clyde's a little ridiculous.
Hoover reportedly hunted down and threatened anyone who made insinuations about his sexuality.
You call him author, gay?
Author Truman Capote, who enjoyed repeating salacious rumors gay. About... Yes, who enjoyed repeating, and also was the one character from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation there. That's because it's one of my favorite books, and there's a lot of speculation there that he was like a ghostwriter. And I think it's just chauvinism bullshit.
J. Edgar would never survive in 2020. Well, I'm not going to say 2020. The 1990s middle schools. Just if he can't handle being called gay, he would have never made it in the 90s.
That's what freaks me out. And like, I have a lot of hope because the current generation does put line on that, you know?
Where, yeah.
You know, people can't just go around saying stupid shit like we did and were around when we were in high school and
late grade. Can you remember the shit we used to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't even feel that way. It wasn't a hate thing. It was just what people said. And like everyone around you was saying it. No, like it was the universal thing to say these slurs. And it was just like,
But here's the other thing too, is like he was kind of accepted on a global capacity. That's like, this is not direct. Okay.
Every time I bring it up, I sort of feel like Liam Neeson a little bit.
But like, you remember being like middle school,
but and it's your not that be
like,
bad.
Hey, I did this, and you're like, oh,
first that's of all,
gay.
You're a kid. People did that all the time.
Like, you don't literally mean like
anyone
you know.
From our generation who like tries to pull rank. Or virtue signal and say that they didn't say that at least once.
They're a liar. They're a liar.
They're probably a liar. Yeah, I'm not gonna be definite with it, but they're probably a liar.
You called like, somebody the F so word, you called somebody like the hard R stupid word, you called something gay, like you did something. Just understand that at the time it was more accepted. Not that it was totally cool, but it was more accepted to do it at the time, and that now it's not cool to do it anymore, so just update yourself. Do like I do. Call people like fucking breadsticks and call them a fucking eggplant. Yeah, dumb shit.
There's some guy I love when people like sub in food items like you fucking vegetable lasagna.
That's what I do, bro.
So good.
Like people come into the ER for dumb shit. I'm like, look at this fucking breadstick over here. Oh, I love it.
That's pretty good. I like it too. Yeah, that's good.
But as I was saying,
Steve doesn't like breadsticks at all.
It's fine. This fucking meatball.
That's a lie.
This fucking schlemiel.
You know that's a lie, Steve. You know I got stock in Stella-Dora breadsticks. Stella-Dora breadsticks.
A schlemiel is an actual insult, though.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah, you want to watch the schlemiels around here, bro.
A schlemiel and a schlemazel are both also like curse words in Yiddish. I forget exactly what they are, but they're...
I'm about to say, what is the curse word? Because I might actually start using this.
Well, bro, do you know what a schmuck is?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
it's like, I mean, a schmuck is like a dumbass. It's like an easy way to say an idiot.
Do you know what the word do you know what a schmuck actually is?
No.
Oh, okay. It's the part of the dick that the moil takes off.
The foreskin?
Yeah, it's something. I don't know if it's exactly the foreskin, but it's something to do with that. Yeah, it's basically like a slang term or like a term in Yiddish.
But a shlemiel is like an inept and like very clumsy, like dumb person.
Oh, perfect. Now
who's like awkward? And a shlemazel is like a very unlucky person.
Yeah, and some of it doesn't actually make sense.
What's like an old timey curse?
In Yiddish, schmuck means penis. So you're literally calling someone a dick. And perfect. On top of that, you know, words change meaning a lot, especially when they're ethnically or nationalistically related. So like the word Nimrod, it means an idiot. And it's all because of Bugs Bunny. That's what they basically traced it down to.
Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck, one of the two.
It was Bugs Bunny. That like Bugs Bunny basically made the word Nimrod a knock. So it's just derogatory.
Yeah, because it's a character from the Bible.
Yeah, it's not just a character from the Bible, by the way. It's like a conquering badass or something.
Well, yeah, he's a hunter.
Yeah, he's like a very good thing, or like a thing you'd probably like look up to. You wouldn't call someone that as a joke.
Well, I believe he's also a villain from the context of the Hebrews, that he's like a non. If I'm remembering correctly, because in the X-Men, like the one Super Sentinel from the future is named Nimrod.
I got to get his card and snap. I'm really annoyed about it.
Yeah, he's a descendant.
I need Nimrod and Beast.
Yeah, he's a descendant of Ham. So yeah, he's not a good dude.
No.
Truman Capote would tell these rumors just to make him angry, not really caring if they were actually accurate. And on May 2nd, 1969, Screw Magazine, which was sort of like a, like, I don't know exactly how to describe it. It's like a quasi like pornographic magazine that would talk about like prostitutes and stuff like that. It made the first reference in print to Hoover's sexuality titled, Is J. Edgar Hoover a F-bomb?
Wow. Again, this goes back to, remember when you could say certain things and people would look at you sideways? Can you imagine saying that today?
Yeah.
Wow. Some, yeah, like when people would just casually, you know, drop the N-bomb. Some associates and scholars dismissed these rumors about his sexuality and rumors about his relationship with Tulsa in particular as unlikely, while others have described them as probable or even confirmed.
I used to hate the little shithead kids that would like drop the F bomb and be like, "I'm not calling you gay. I'm calling you a cigarette." Bro,
that I tell you, I could talk about this all day. And
you're just a bundle of sticks. I'm not calling you gay. It's like, come on, bro.
I still feel like Liam Neeson, though. You know, like I'm admitting to some former thing that I just shouldn't tell anybody about, but I'm very open about it. You know, because I think it's amazing that all of us were able to actually turn it around for the most part. A lot of people I went to school with who I would 100% never want to associate with again because they never got past it.
Right.
You know, I think
it's weird.
I freely admit, I'm not virtue signaling, by the way. By the end of high school, by like senior year, it was already weird. Like that people would do it. I distinctly remember when people would do it. I'd be like, dude, you can't say that. And that was,
year
that
you
was three
high
or
school?
4 years. 2000.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, yeah. I graduated in like I graduated in 04, and I feel like when I graduated, they were still – I feel like you couldn't drop like a hard F-bomb on somebody. Because yeah, they would be like, all right, that's not cool. Problem. But you could definitely be like, bro, stop being gay. Like something like that, and they would be like, oh, yeah, haha.
Yeah. No, people would still say it, but like you would definitely want to like avoid saying it for the most part. And it started around then that I remember.
And now, like even nowadays, I'll hear every now and then somebody will say something out of pocket, and like it's almost like a shock to my system. I'm like, bro, what did you just fucking say?
Yeah,
like what did you just fucking say? Had an old man, a little bit confused, but he was mostly with it the other night, and he told me it was fine that he had a niece who was a lesbian. who liked girls, but it was weird that he had a nephew that liked boys. And I was like, huh. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to go talk to the doc. I'll be back.
Pornhub.com was in your hospital.
Oh, God. It was,
you know,
just,
where it's completely okay to be a lesbian.
Like, that's cringed inside out. This man literally just told me it's cool if I have lesbian daughters, but having like gay son,
that's
gay
kinda neat,
or lesbian nieces, but like having gay neat nephews is not cool. I was like, God, hey,
You know, it's kind of neat. Isn't that neat?
No, it's not.
historians Cox and Theo Harris. Concluded, though, that there is a quote-unquote strange likelihood is that Hoover never knew sexual desire at all, which could be possible that he could have been asexual.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, but you know what? Not fuck that second. Guy, because he's going to ruin the show. He's ruining the show. He's ruining the fucking show, Steve.
I've also heard it speculated that while he might have been gay, that he also might have been, like asexual.
But wait, is he asexual or is he asexual?
He'd be a big fan of the wink.
He'd be drowning in floozies like Laverne and Shirley if that was the case.
Shlemiel.
Because that was the original origin of Laverne and Shirley. They were the easy girls that Fonzie hooked Richie and I think it was Ralph Mouth or one of the other guys up with, and they went on a double date. Anthony Summers, who wrote Official and Confidential, The Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover in 1993, stated that there was no ambiguity about the FBI director's sexual proclivities and described him as quote-unquote bisexual with failed heterosexuality.
Okay.
Hoover would describe Tolson as his alter ego. The men would work closely together during the day, and both single frequently took meals and went to nightclubs and vacation together.
Nice.
The closeness is often cited as evidence that they were lovers. Some FBI employees who knew them, such as Mark Felt, said that their relationship was quote-unquote brotherly. However, former FBI executive assistant director Mike Mason suggested that some of Hoover's colleagues denied that he had a sexual relationship with Tolson in an effort to protect Hoover's image. The novelist William Styron told Summers that he once saw Hoover and Tolson in a California beach house where the director was painting his friend's toenails.
Bro.
There's nothing wrong with that, dude. NFL quarterback Caleb Williams paints his toenails.
Why? I mean, no, I'm not saying that. No. There's nothing wrong with that.
You see how he plays?
Plays like a real one of those, you know?
He's painting his friend's toenails. He's painting Tolson's toenails, but people still want to know that that's just his assistant.
You know, painting Tony's toenails sounds like a euphemism for something.
Oh, I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That guy over there, you know, last time I heard, he paints Tony's toenails, if you know what I mean.
Well, it was just like how Jesus would wash people's feet. And since, you know, he didn't have the water or the soap to wash his feet, he just painted his toenails. It's all the same.
Jesus Christ. Jesus was the original.
You sound like a Christian conservative father explaining homosexuality to his son.
Jesus was the original feet finder whale.
Not Joe Biden's dad. He was the first man to ever say love is love.
Oh, my God. You know, my dad told me love was love right after I popped corn pop right in the face with my cock.
You've heard his anecdote about how, like, he was in the car with his dad in, like, 1948 or something, and he saw two men kissing, and his dad was just like, well, they just love each other.
Yeah, my dad was real progressive. Back in 48, he said, those gay guys are all right.
I think my dad, if I remember correctly,
never all right.
if I remember correctly, growing up in Boston, I think one time my dad told me his opinion on gay people, and he was like, "I don't give a fuck," and it was just never discussed after that. He was just like, "I don't give a fuck."
See, that's the right attitude to have, though. Like, that's to me, the guy that doesn't give a fuck about the situation, usually the good guy.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that's all I can remember him saying about one of his best friends that used to come over to the house all the time with him and my stepmom. The lady that used to come over all the time, her name was Tracy, and she was a lesbian and she used to bring her wife over all the time. So I feel like, he clearly didn't care.
I'm advocating for the position of, like, complete just apathy to certain things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a totally valid position. Like, I do believe that that people in this day and age, because of the ubiquity of the internet and the, like, clout-based, like, economy, that people really feel like you have to have a fucking opinion on everything. You have to have an opinion on everything. Like, you have to be able to, like, voice your opinion on that thing, like, right away.
I think in his mind it wasn't an issue to have an opinion on because he clearly had very obviously gay friends. And it was just more like, I don't give a fuck.
When's the last time you had to – no, that's true, too. But when's the last time you had to, like, someone ask you your opinion on something and you said, you know, I would rather not comment on that? Right?
Never. You know my big mouth is always ready to comment.
So I do it quite frequently, and it's like an embarrassing state to be in.
Really?
Yeah, like you say it, and then they start questioning, like, why you can't talk about a thing, you know? And you're sitting there like...
In that case, just say NDA. Just say I'm under NDA.
You just sit there, and you have to change the topic and non sequitur, right?
No, that's all you gotta do. I'm under NDA. I can't discuss it.
Yeah, I like that. I was reading something earlier today. Somebody got this shitty letter from their HOA, and one of the, like, strategies they posted at the bottom was to respond with, hey, some asshole signing letters with your name again, and just drop that on their porch. Some asshole's writing stupid idiot letters and using your fucking name. The other one, too, was like, if you get a shitty email to respond with, you need to change your email password. I'm a cybersecurity guy, and it looks like you've been compromised, because I got a real dumb message from you the other day. I think what happened, by the way, was the HOA fucking told this guy, they sent him a letter because they had a birthday party, and there were 3 SUVs there that were blacked out, but it was just kids, like kids' parents.
Right.
So they said that was threatening and it was bothering the members of the community and that they really wish you would have explained it ahead of time.
I'm glad I don't live in HOA with my fucking Challenger and my bike and everything else.
And I was reading the replies to it and I could not stop laughing at that for some reason. Mm. I'm sorry, dude. Somebody is writing stupid letters and then signing them Ryan.
I don't know what's going on, man. Check this dumb shit out that I just got. Is this really you? Nah, somebody's got to be impersonating you, right? You're not this fucking stupid.
It's got to be somebody, right? Like, it's not you.
You're not a fucking French fry like whoever clearly wrote this letter.
French fry.
Harry Hay, founder of the Mattachin Society, one of the first gay rights organizations, said that Hoover and Tolson sat in boxes owned by and used exclusively by gay men at the Del Mar racetrack in California.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. The racetrack where they sat there just surrounded by gay dudes. No, 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 but this is just the director of the FBI and his pal.
Because remember, it was said that Hoover was like big into like betting on horse races.
There's 1,000 other seats you could have sat in. But it's... Literally any other seat. Any other fucking seat. Nope.
Yeah. Hoover would bequeath his estate to Tolson.
Not gay.
Who moved into the house after Hoover died.
Definitely didn't love him that much.
Tolson would also accept the American flag that draped Hoover's casket.
Come on!
Tolson was buried a few yards away from Hoover in the Congressional Cemetery.
What?!
Bro, they're just friends, all right?
How the fuck is he in the... What?
They're just good friends.
By a few really yards, he means that he is literally the next plot over.
Mob leader...
By special requests, the left side of Hoover and the right side of Colson's caskets have had circles cut out so that their hands could extend and hold each other's hands into eternity... as best friends.
Ryan, if you want to know my opinion about this whole thing, I don't give a fuck. All right.
They were buried in each other's personalized jerseys. You know, Hoover's wearing the Tolson.
Hockey jerseys. They're personalized hockey jerseys.
Tolson's wearing the Hoover Washington Commanders jerseys.
I love it. I love it. Best friends, man. Till the end.
But But mob leader Mayor Lansky is credited with having controlled compromising pictures of a sexual nature featuring Hoover and Tulsa. Nice. In the book Official and Confidential, which I mean, mentioned
not
previously,
nice at all. Terrible, but
nice.
By Anthony Summers, cites multiple primary sources regarding Lansky's use of blackmail to gain influence with politicians, policemen, and judges.
Mm-hmm.
One stage of Lansky's acquisition of blackmail materials was orgies held by late attorney and Hoover protege Roy Cohn.
Isn't that the guy from the...
Big Roy.
Isn't that the Red Scare guy?
Yes. Okay. Who was involved with... yes, all of that.
Oh, that's over there.
Piece of fucking shit, Roy Cohn, looking like a fucking weasel anyway. Goddamn. He looks like a fucking Roy Cohn.
He ruined Angels in America.
he ruined Angels in the Outfield.
And liquor magnate Louis Rosenstiel, who had lasting ties with the mafia from his bootleg operations during Prohibition.
I see.
One of Hoover's biographers, Richard Hack, does not believe that Hoover was gay. He notes that Hoover was romantically linked to actress Dorothy L'Amour in the late 1930s and early 1940s, and that after Hoover's death, L'Amour did not deny rumors that she had had an affair with him.
See, that's pretty common. I mean, especially in a society that doesn't accept you. I mean, you can perform.
And again, that's why I think he was bisexual.
It happens
more
all the
than
time.
Just gay.
Even in straight relationships, people don't always think about the other person when they're banging. You know, that's a common thing. So it's like, this guy, they can go on and have like these fake relationships and then come out later in life. I know at least two people that did that. And then, what's his name? The governor of New Jersey, Jim and Greavy. You guys remember that?
It was pretty wide
like news because he was one of the first politicians I think to ever do that. He like went on live TV at 5 o'clock and fucking came out as gay.
Really?
A married man with kids. Yep. That was when I was like, it was like 2000, I think. Yeah, I don't think it was that long ago. It was like 2000, 2001. Which to us feels like, you know, last year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was like banned in Florida at the time, so that's why I didn't
probably
see it.
You know, yeah, it's like Jim McGreevy
it was like the interracial kiss on Star Trek. They wouldn't let it show like south of the Mason Dixon line.
Dude, let me tell you something. I had a friend, I won't say his name, but I had a friend right before that guy came out. He said, oh no, when he came out, he came over that day, he's like, did you see? And I was like, did I see what? Right. And then he tells me about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, makes sense. He's like, I knew he was gay. Look at his lips.
Oh my God.
He could not stop laughing. Nobody fucking knows what the fuck he's talking about. We could not stop laughing. Dude. Do you mean, look at his lips? What the fuck does that mean?
Look at his lips. You know, he's gay. He's a Seinfeld joke. Look at his lips.
Maybe John Waters, all right? But most gay people don't have special lips.
I can absolutely see Jason Alexander. It's the lips, Jerry. It's the lips.
You can tell. How?
He's got the gay lips, Jerry.
Jerry had the gay lips. And I was walking right next to him, and I did a pirouette. They're gonna think I'm gay now,
Jerry. I saw his lips, Jerry. I think he's gay.
Oh yeah, Jerry. Oh yeah.
I think he has a wide stance, Jerry.
Here's my thing, right? I've always wondered when people have like whole marriages and children, and it's like a heteronormative relationship, and then they come out as gay. Yeah. Far after the fact. My question is always, without trying to get into like the subtle nuance of like what defines a sexual preference, are you gay or do you just like sex with everybody? Not necessarily gay on the like, level of like you want an intimate relationship with this person, if that makes sense.
Well no, at that time period has nothing to do with that generally. It's that there's an expectation of you to get married.
No, that's what I mean. Like nowadays, when someone comes out, when they've had a wife and kids and a whole life,
I don't know if it happens as often. I don't think it really happens as much.
And I think generally it happens because they're like weird, like far right, like Christians.
Well, it happens in any conservative minded country. So like that's where you're going to see that more because they're forced into their gender roles and their societal roles based on their whatever group they're a member of, society they're a member of. So it probably happens in like Africa and India a lot.
But I mean, even if it happens there, my question to them is, do you really think that you're gay, or is it like you just
I think it's completely subjective, right?
Like, yeah, because then you got because then you have to like dive into like what is gay? Does it include like you love that person, or are you just trying to catch a nut? You know what I'm saying?
If we're specifically leaving this conversation up for just people who leave a marriage, right? Then right. I would say that it could be for any reason. I was just talking about this with my wife. You know. People,
you guys are getting divorced, are you?
No, she'd have to kill me to get me out of the house. No, absolutely not. My shadow.
Have you seen the rent prices? You're fucking crazy. We're dying in this house together.
Absolutely. 100%. But no, man, we were just talking about this. Like, some people just fucking flat out should never get married. Like, they have no business being married. They're never going to respect the institution. They do not have, they cannot, they're cocksmen or whatever. Right. And they're not going to be able to do it, you know, or it could just be for whatever reason, but you know,
but I mean, if those people recognize that, that's fine.
And even if they happen to be gay at the same time. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I totally believe bisexuality is a thing too, but right. You know, if you tell me you're gay, I believe you, you know?
Yeah.
Hack further reported that during the 1940s and 50s, Hoover attended social events with Layla Rogers, the divorced mother of dancer and actress Ginger Rogers.
Oh, he's not gay.
So often that many of their mutual friends assumed the pair would eventually marry.
See, this guy collected dossiers on people and compiled one on himself. He was an expert at it. Okay? He knew what was going on. He knew what he had to do to protect himself against accusations that could ruin his career at a time period in this country where we were still extremely bigoted.
My man said, if it comes down to it, I will blackmail myself.
Yeah.
And the aforementioned Louis Rosenstiel, who was a close friend
Ryan, you know who I hate? People with, like, you say blackmail, and the guy in the room that goes, why has it got to be blackmail?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Please don't get me started. Favorite
joke
ever. B-E-T, why is it W-E-T? Yeah,
all right, hands down. No, that's a more specific type. B-E-T, why can't it be W-E-T?
Like, what can we get a road that you do? It's called country music television. You fuck. Shut up.
You have CMT.
But it was found by the journalist Anthony Summers that Rosenstiel, that his fourth wife, Susan, is quoted quoted as claiming to have seen Hoover engaging in cross-dressing in the 1950s at all-male parties at the Plaza Hotel with Rosenstiel and Roy Cohn and young male prostitutes.
Now, she was misheard. She said is that he was at Rucker Park and he was crossovering, not cross-dressing.
He was breaking ankles on the court.
What she was talking about was a neologism she created about how he had just put Thousand Island on a salad and then he poured ranch in an X pattern. He was cross-dressing. It is a cross-dressing.
You sound like Louis Farrakhan. Now, when I said I wanted to behead all Jews, what I really meant was
I wanted to be at the head of the Jews. I have joined the Black Jewish Israelites. Wow, that's a joke right there.
Oh, man, that's excellent.
Another Hoover biographer, Burton Hirsch, would later corroborate the story.
That's a name. Summers, right there.
As I mentioned before, also alleged that the mafia had blackmail material on Hoover, which made him reluctant to pursue organized crime aggressively.
Oh yeah, they did that. They ran a lot of the gay clubs.
Yeah,
protection on them because they couldn't report it. Right. By the way, Burton Hirsch. Before we get too far away from it, that's a fucking name right there, man. And honestly, it might be the only one where you can say, like, in, like, a gangster accent from the 40s. I'm not even sure what the accent would be. Like, you could say, Boynton Hoish. Which is great. Who else has a name Boynton where you can do that? Boynton Hoish.
According to Summer, as I mentioned before, organized crime figures such as Mayor Lansky and Frank Costello obtained photos of Hoover having sex with Tolson and used them to ensure the FBI did not target their activities.
And you can't just see Frank Costello like smoking a cigar and giggling and looking at him.
Additionally, Summers claimed that Hoover was friends with Billy Byers Jr., an alleged child pornographer and producer of the film The Genesis Children.
Oh.
Hey.
Fashion expert Tim Gunn relayed a story on the radio news quiz show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, where Gunn's father was speechwriter for...
Tim Gunn.
Yeah, the fashion designer.
Was he...
From like Project Runway.
That's who it is. Yeah, the guy with the gray hair. Kind of looks like Anderson Cooper's uncle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was funny, man.
His father was Hoover's speechwriter, and as a child, he and his sister were on a tour of the FBI offices when their father asked them if they would like to meet Vivian Vance. They had a pleasant meeting with a woman in Hoover's office. Reflecting on this later as adults, the children realized that Hoover was not present in the office and that they deemed this highly unusual. Later, when Gunn included this visit in his Gunn's Golden Rules book with Simon and Schuster, a legal team attempted to corroborate the story of Vivian Vance visiting the FBI offices. Her biographers could not confirm this, and a search of the FBI visitor logs did not show Vance had visited. Gunn's conclusion was that Hoover was impersonating Vance the day of his visit.
So he was
a drag queen.
Oh, no, that's shot. That is a clever ass anecdote, but I don't believe that. I mean,
no way.
Like, he wasn't.
Hold on, I'm looking her up.
Dude, he looked like Mama Fratelli from the Goonies. Like, he wasn't a good looking. Like, he's not going to pull off Vivian fucking Vance.
Hang on, I'm looking up what Vivian Vance. All right.
Hear me out, but with the right lighting and a good rouge, I feel like he could have pulled it off.
I mean,
Ryan, you know whether he dressed like Vivian Vance or not.
All right, so hear me.
I don't really give a fuck.
No, he was not. No, he was not passing this.
Actually, you know, he could have been Vivian Vance because that's Ethel Mertz. So
yeah,
that's possible.
How's this? You tell me. Here's a picture of Vivian Vance. You tell me. You think Jay Edgar passes
right
at that
it right now? I think if he put the right makeup on, yeah.
No, I mean, bro.
That's like young. So you remember, it's like 1960s.
Oh, yeah, he could have easily pulled that off. I think so. What's the proper term?
Cross-dressers? I guess cross-dressers. Drag queens?
Drag queens. Drag queens. Like, yeah, some of them are borderline impossible to tell, like, without looking directly at the Adam's apple, like. But if they got that Forever 21 choker on, bro, you better
it's over.
You better Rochambeau for it, you know. But my point is that they look very presented as female, you know, so it's totally possible. And he's kind of got like a nothing face too, like there's nothing real special about it. So
I mean, I'll give you that. Yeah, his face is just very just normal, average, generic, aggressively average white guy.
It allowed him to be a master of disguise. Yeah. A chameleon.
In fact, that's not his face. He normally goes by Vivian Vance, Ethel Mertz.
He just pulls off his face like in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Another
I got the song stuck in my head, fucker.
Another Hoover biographer who had heard the rumors of the homosexuality and blackmail said he was unable to corroborate them, though it had been acknowledged that Lansky and other organized crime figures had frequently been allowed to visit the Del Charro Hotel in La Jolla, California, which was owned by Hoover's friend and staunch LBJ supporter, Clint Murchison Sr.
I thought you go down over there, you go to La Jolla, you talk to boy noise, all right?
That's just capitalism. Of course you're going to be allowed to visit there. What the fuck?
Hoover and Tolson also frequently visited the Del Charro Hotel. Summer's Quarters Gucci, source Gucci. named Charles Krebs is saying...
That was a Charro impression.
On three occasions that I knew about, maybe four, boys were driven down to La Jolla at Hoover's request.
Who I first saw on the Jerry Lewis telethon. Charro. In like the 90s.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. He's got his third suit on. He's wiping the sweat off his chest. And he literally is just like sitting on a stool. He's just like, ladies and gentlemen. Charro.
As he just rocks his head back and forth and just keeps saying, nice lady.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Skeptics of the cross-dressing story point to Susan Rosenstiel's lack of credibility. She pleaded guilty to attempted perjury in a 1971 case and later served time in New York for it. Recklessly indiscreet behavior by Hoover would have been totally out of character, whatever his sexuality, and most biographers consider the story of mafia blackmail unlikely in light of the FBI's continuing investigations of the mafia. Although never corroborated, the allegation of cross-dressing has been widely repeated. In the words of author Thomas Doherty, for American popular culture, the image of the Zaftig FBI director as a Christine Jurgensen wannabe was too delicious not to savor. Biographer Kenneth Ackerman says that Summers' accusations have been widely debunked by historians.
Debunked.
Yeah, right.
Deliciously debunked.
The journalist Liz Smith wrote that Cohn told her about Hoover's rumored transvestism. Yeah,
you can't trust Cohn.
Long before it became common gossip. The attorney, Roy Cohn, who had served as general counsel on the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations during Senator Joseph McCarthy's tenure as chairman and assisted Hoover during the 1950s investigations of communists, was generally known to be a closeted homosexual.
Best part about Joseph McCarthy is he died before he even hit 50. Piece of shit.
Well, he was a terrible alcoholic.
Good.
Like, he was like, good. I don't know. Like, he was like a blackout by noon type guy.
Yeah. Like I said, best thing he ever did was die before 50.
And like one of the things that brought him down too was that that he himself might have possibly been a homosexual, but like Cohn and a lot of the people in his office were, which led people to conclude that because he wouldn't like turn them over for that.
Oh,
because a part of McCarthy's thing was also the Lavender Scare, which is about finding homosexuals in the government.
So just projection on top of projection, yeah.
Oh yeah.
According to Richard,
every Republican male politician who's like super anti-abortion has had at least one fucking aborted child.
Every single one of them mastered in projection.
Nobody should ever have to go through this.
As they're kicking their wife onto a fucking Learjet.
I'm gonna make the system worse.
I don't that's believe we'll in this.
We'll fix it by making it worse.
Black bag and their nanny putting them on a flight to Mexico. I am against abortion.
Well, that's like 100% the evangelical like Baptist sort of thing. That you have to have that as part of your story. You have to be bad to be redeemed. You can't be saved unless, you know, which to us, like, who come from like normal, what I would say, quote unquote, like normal Orthodox Christianity is like a Catholic or Lutheran background. You know, it's just like, well, yeah, you go to church, and like in the case of like with like Catholicism, you know, as long as you like do all the rites and stuff and you do your confession and you stay up to date on that, you're good.
Yeah.
And with Lutheranism, it's all in like, it's all just in God's grace. So all that doesn't matter, but just as long as, you know, you try your best or whatever, that's good enough.
Yeah.
But in their case, you have to essentially fall and be brought back up. So every one of those people who's like a douchebag, like TV minister, or like one of those people who like proselytizes all the time, they always have to have some story. They all have some story about how they were a bad kid.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, they were in with a bad crowd, and then they
has to be a
redemption.
According to Richard Hack, Cohn's opinion was that Hoover was too frightened of his own sexuality to have anything approaching a normal sexual or romantic relationship, which I can believe.
What do you mean? Cohn's, like, if someone was gay, he walked into a room, he would be like, gay?
Well, no, that he's just so, like, that he would never...
Like, they, ran out
they,
of
like, essentially, like, why do so many gay guys become priests? And it's not because they think, like, God's going to take it away from them. It's just that they believe that they need to, like, stop themselves from doing it.
Which is so fucking insane.
So there's sort of like I was mentioning before, there is an idea that he was somewhat like asexual, in that while he was a homosexuality and homosexual urges, he never indulged in them out of like a form of like forced celibacy, because he himself was disgusted with his own sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't think it's insane, by the way. It's something that people did, I think, back then just so that they could survive. I mean, that's how bad it was, you know?
Well, I think it's also sort of like a personal turmoil type thing. Not just that he was afraid of what people would see, just more that he himself, his own beliefs.
Well, yeah, sure. He was completely inculcated in a society that just would never let anyone feel good about that. You'd have to be a very specific type of person. Like, maybe like a more type A. You know, I know type A is bullshit, but like a more like aggressive maybe person. Then maybe you could deal with it. But I think your average person was just totally run into the ground with anti or I'm sorry, with like homophobia and racism, and they yeah.
But some of Cohn's former clients, such as Bill Bonanno, son of crime boss Joseph Bonanno, also cited also photographs of Hoover in drag that were allegedly possessed by Cohn.
Yeah. His were really good, too. That's why he moved out west.
As I mentioned, during the Lavender Scare, Cohn and McCarthy further enhanced the anti-communist fervor by suggesting that communists overseas had convinced several closeted homosexuals within the U.S. government to leak important government information in exchange for the insurance that their sexual identity would remain a secret.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
A federal investigation that followed convinced President Dwight D. Eisenhower to sign Executive Order 10450 on April 29th, 1953, that barred homosexuals from obtaining jobs at the federal level.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck him. Fucking fuck him forever now. He won World War II. Yeah, I'm sure he did. He's still a fucking asshole. It's like when a veteran cuts me off in traffic because they got like Iraq badges on the back of their Jeep. And I'm just like, thank you for your service. Now fuck off and drive correctly. Like, what the fuck, you know? Dickhead. literally just happened the other day, man. I hate that shit. I hate
personal.
I fucking hate when people have shitty ass fucking bumper stickers and stuff like that to tell me exactly who they are, you know? And I'm just like, oh, okay.
I was in the car with my buddy, and he was like, oh, you got a Purple Heart? Because, you know, I got the Purple Heart license plates. He was like, oh, you got a Purple Heart? What's up? You want to get injured again? I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Holy shit, dog. Yeah,
I don't do that. Like, I actually think that one of the best ways you can learn to become more stoic and disciplined is to not let yourself be angry in traffic. It's a very, like, it's a brutal thing to do. Like, never be heard complaining. Just accept everything.
I am not there
yet. Yeah, it's fucking, that's a very difficult task.
That's a state of enlightenment I will never reach myself.
I've had good days and bad days.
In his 2004 study of the event, historian David K. Johnson attacked the speculation about Hoover's homosexuality as relying on quote-unquote the kind of tactics Hoover and the security program he oversaw perfected, guilt by association, rumor, and unverified gossip. He views Rosenstiel's as a liar who was paid for a story whose quote-unquote description of Hoover in drag engaging in sex with young blonde boys in leather while desecrating the Bible is clearly a homophobic fantasy.
Yeah,
because you had me until desecrating the Bible.
Shit right there.
I was on board until you got to desecrating the Bible. When you start to get to that, now you're into fantasy territory.
He believes only those who have forgotten the virulence of the decades-long campaign against homosexuals in government can believe reports that Hoover appeared in compromising situations.
Uh-huh.
Some people associated with Hoover have supported the rumors about his homosexuality. According to Anthony Summers, Hoover often frequented New York City Stork Club. It was like a jazz club.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck's wrong with jazz? It's not gay.
It makes him gay.
It's not gay.
Jazz is gay. You heard it here first on the Trilateral Trio.
That means a lot to me. I'm, the fuck was I doing the other day? I was just driving. We were coming home, and I just like, I want to listen to some jazz, and I just turned on Chet Baker in the car. My wife's always like, all right.
Your Northeast kind of like shown through there for a second. He said, I'm coming home.
I have a couple words with that. It's usually some O construct. You know, I think the other day I was talking about it. My boss has a word, or my old boss. I have his job now. But he had dogs. He'd say dogs every time.
I can't say grandfather. Like, I can't add that extra R in there. It's always grandfather.
Yeah, water. I do, home, that Delco Valley Jersey accent shit. You see the birds lose that game? Do you see that? Huh? Threw it over there to Saquon, and he can't even catch the ball, you know? They're down there at the 1 yard line, and Jalen Hurts throws the ball over to Saquon, and he drops ball. I mean... At that point in time, I wanted Andy Reid back. I would pay him anything. Someone get Mayor Ed Rendell, Mayor John Street on the phone so we can get Andy Reid back in here. Because this
Sirianni, bring Donovan McNabb with you.
This Sirianni's not going to make it. No, Donovan McNabb's, he's local legend, Philadelphia. Him, Terrell Owens, you know. Deuce Staley.
Terrell Owens.
They just turn, Terrell Owens turns into one word, like a fucking Troll. Egyptian myth. Yeah. Have I told you the tale of Terrell Owens?
Oh my God. You said it perfectly the first time. You will never say it perfectly again because you said it by accident. Yeah, like, not like by accident.
I don't know if I could do it.
It was so fucking perfect. It was Troll. It was Troll Owens. It was excellent.
Oh, man.
Louisa Stewart, a bottle who was around 18 or 19 at the time, told Summers that she had seen Hoover holding hands with Tolson as they rode in a limo uptown to the Cotton Club in 1936.
Uh-oh.
Not only did he hang out with the gays, he hung out with the blacks. This guy's egregious.
Actress and singer Ethel Merman was a friend of Hoover's since 1938 and familiar with all parties during his alleged romance with Lalo Rogers. In a 1978 interview and in response to Anita Bryant's anti-gay campaign, she said, "Some of my best friends are homosexuals. Everybody knew about J. Edgar Hoover, but he was the best chief the FBI ever had."
Wait, Anita Bryant, like the singer?
Yes. Yeah, she was part of like a big anti-gay campaign in the 80s.
Really?
It was late 70s and 80s. Yeah.
She's from the Midwest, of course. She was like,
she's a gospel singer. I mean, I get it, but like, you know.
She went on this big like anti-homosexuality campaign, and because she was like, it had led to a boycott of Florida orange juice because she was like the spokeswoman for Florida orange juice, because she came out and she publicly opposed that they were going to make it so you couldn't discriminate against gay people in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to pass a law saying that, like, essentially what we have now, saying that you can't deny people like access to facilities or you can't like evict somebody for being gay.
Right.
And she led a campaign to get rid of that. And it was like that whole campaign of like how they're just like going to groom our children, like essentially the same stuff that the Republicans are saying now about like trans people.
Yeah.
So she I'm reading about it. She was an idiot who was virulently homophobic and they were successful, but it ruined her career. So they would just call her like the first canceled angel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they would just call her. She was an angel. She had the voice of an angel, and she was right about them gays in Miami. You know?
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous, man.
That is the story of one J. Edgar Hoover. You know, after his death, you know, the FBI never did anything wrong. Everything's been on the narrow. You know, the church committee cleaned up everything.
FBI has been impeccable.
Wait, you mean to tell me this guy didn't follow the hero's journey and have a good ending?
I'm sorry, Steve. You didn't.
Oh, my God.
The FBI is...
I'm starting to really question these. This Joseph Campbell guy.
Well, you know what he went into the cave on Dagobah?
This Tomas Mann.
You know what he went into the cave on Dagobah instead of, you know, fighting... You know, the Darth Vader, he just shook hands with him. They realized, oh, it's me, and then he merged with it.
He just shook hands with him.
When the FBI raised their flag over the Mount Carmel compound in Waco, Texas, that was just a show of solidarity with the people that they just ruthlessly murdered inside of those buildings. The FBI is above reproach at this point.
Please, please. That's an ETF or W right there.
Was it really?
FBIL ATFW. I can agree with that.
The ATF were the ones that did Waco.
Dude, the ATF.
I thought the FBI was there too.
Nah, it was the ATF.
It was mainly the ATF, yeah.
Oh, all right, well, I'll get the FBI on some of the bullshit.
Oh, you were talking about Waco. I didn't even fucking pick up on that, remember?
Yeah, Mount Carmel,
oh,
man.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know what the fuck you were talking about for a second.
Looking at you, Janet Reno.
All right, and with that.
I love it.
Good night.
Bye.